Good morning. A few Sundays ago, I spoke to you about the promises that Jesus left with us when he ascended into heaven. And so Jesus said, I will go, and I will make a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Well, those of us who are sitting here are still waiting for that promise. Promise number two was that Jesus would send the Holy Spirit. That promise, some of us might be thinking that we're still waiting for that one as well. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Does the Holy Spirit live within you? We celebrate Pentecost today. But what is Pentecost? Pentecost, as we've come to know it, when we talk about Pentecost, we talk about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon God's people, on all of God's people. But Pentecost wasn't this. When Jesus said, wait, as we are instructed to do, he didn't say, wait until Pentecost, and then I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He did tell them that he was going to send them the Holy Spirit, who would then empower them to do the work that he had laid out for them, which is Acts 1, 7, and 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But wait, he will come, go back to Jerusalem and wait for him there. And so that's what these people were doing. They went back to Jerusalem and they waited. So what did they do while they were waiting? Well, they prayed together. They kept fellowshipping together. And when they came together at Pentecost, it wasn't for the purpose of them receiving the Holy Spirit. It was because it was another Jewish festival that they were celebrating. And that's why this list that Gordon and Marilyn read to us, all these different people found themselves in Jerusalem because they all congregated back to Jerusalem to celebrate this festival. Festival of weeks, or the festival that marked the end of the barley harvest and the beginning of the wheat harvest. That's what they were celebrating. So they all came together. That's why all these people were together there. The Holy Spirit is a mystery. It has been a mystery from the very beginning. What does this mean? And it continues to be that. Because the Holy Spirit lives within us. And what the Holy Spirit does in one person isn't necessarily what the Holy Spirit does in somebody else. And so I want to take a little bit of a tour of the Holy Spirit through Scripture this morning. I want to start with Genesis chapter 1. The Holy Spirit has always been. The Holy Spirit wasn't something new that came at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has existed for eternity past with God the Father and God the Son. And so when we read Genesis 1, 1 and 2, Michelle, I didn't give you that. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So the Spirit of God, as he is referred to there, is what we today know as the Holy Spirit. Same person. And so he has existed for eternity past. The reason I say this is because I never want to be totally sure that you understand God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that they are one and that they have existed together for eternity past. Not that long ago, somebody came to me and they told me that Jesus Christ began his existence at his birth. And I was surprised because I thought that this person knew the scriptures. And so I don't want to take these kind of things for granted. So the Holy Spirit has existed from eternity past, was there at the creation. If we go to Exodus chapter 4, and Michelle, I think I missed this one too. In Exodus chapter 4, the Holy Spirit is given. To who? To Moses. The Holy Spirit, Moses is standing by the bush, talking to God, and God giving him direction to go into Egypt to go and relieve his people. And then Moses has all of these arguments with God saying, you know, I'm not really anybody at all, and who, like, I'm ill-equipped. I can't go. And then God begins to do things. He says, what is in your hand? He says, a staff. We'll throw it to the ground. And it becomes a snake. We'll pick it back up. And so we see these things as possibly a little magical. But it's not. It's God interfering, giving Moses the gift of the Holy Spirit. And all of these signs and wonders that Moses did were signs that Moses did through the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll see that a little bit clearer as we move on. So then we're going to jump to Exodus 31. A little bit. You can mark these down. I don't think that I'm going to read all of these this morning. In Exodus 31, Moses says, then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, and son of Hur from the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill and ability and knowledge, with all kinds, knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for the work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. Moreover, I have appointed from the tribe of Dan, a normal name, to help him. Also, I have given skill to all the craftsmen to make everything I have commanded you. So these two individuals are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I find it interesting that when the gift of the Holy Spirit is given here, it's for the purpose of design, artistic design, of making the temple a beautiful place. Because we put the Holy Spirit at a place and we say, there's gifts that are more important than others. And we maybe have reason for believing that, but all gifts are important that the Holy Spirit gives. And here, the gift is given for the purpose of designing the temple. And what was the temple designed to do? Return glory back to God. It wasn't about these individuals who were skilled. In verse 35, it says, at the last part of that verse says, all of them skilled workers and designers. So there wasn't just two people who were doing all of this designing. There was a bunch. And so then we ask, does God just give us, when the Holy Spirit comes on us, is it special in that today I can speak English and I don't know Japanese, but tomorrow if the Holy Spirit comes on me, then I will be able to speak that? Today I don't know how to weld, but tomorrow if the Holy Spirit comes on me, then I will know how to weld. That kind of an idea? Or was it skills that the people already had, that God had already given to them, and then the Holy Spirit just enhanced them? We don't know. And why is it important? I'm not quite sure why it's important. Because I think we want to figure out the Holy Spirit, but maybe the idea is that we're not supposed to figure out the Holy Spirit, because then we can put him in a box. I want to skip to Numbers. Numbers chapter 11. Moses has the Holy Spirit. And so just to give yourself maybe a little bit of grace this morning, listen to Moses. Moses heard that Moses had heard, verse 10, that the people from every family wailing, each at the entrance of his tent. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant?" Moses was troubled. He was frustrated. He was having a little conversation with God here. He's not overly happy. "What have I done to displease you that you have put the burden of these people on me?" No. Moses didn't displease God, and that's why he had put the burden of these people on him. Moses had found favor in God's eyes. As a result, he had the privilege of carrying this burden. But Moses didn't see it at the time, and often we don't. "Did I conceive all of these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to a land you promised on oath to their forefathers? Where can I get meat for all of these people? They keep wailing at me, 'Give us meat to eat.' I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, then put me to death right now. If I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin." A little frustrated. So God responds. Verse 16, the Lord said to Moses, "Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you by the leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. I will come down and I will speak to you there, and I will take of the spirit that is on you and put that the spirit on them. They will help you to carry out the burden of these people so that you will not have to carry it alone." God already doing exactly the same thing that we see at Pentecost. So Moses brings these people together, these 70 people, and when they come together, then the Holy Spirit comes on them, and these people begin to prophesy. Prophesy, returning glory to God, talking about God. That's what they're doing. Obviously, there was something significantly different because they noticed it. And this is exactly the same thing that happens in this place, this upper room, or this room where they were meeting out in Jerusalem at Pentecost. Jump down to verse 26. "However, two men whose name were Eliad and Medad had remained in the camp." They hadn't come to the meeting. "They were listed among the elders, but they did not go to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, 'Eliad and Medad are prophesying in the camp.' Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said to Moses, 'My Lord, stop them.'" But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake?" I find it interesting that Joshua didn't get the gift of the Holy Spirit, and yet he was one of Israel's finest leaders. He didn't get it. Moses' prayer, "I wish that all of them that all the people had the gift of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, they would be able to discern their own ways. They would be able to make their own decisions. They would know what God's will is. They would be able to teach themselves. They would be able to teach others. We have a saying, it says, many hands make light work. This is Moses' prayer way back in Numbers chapter 11. The waiting for the Holy Spirit wasn't just this 10 days from the time of Jesus' ascension till the time of Pentecost. It was much longer than that for the people of Israel as a whole. But God had made this promise throughout. Joel 2:28-29, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, everybody included. In Jeremiah 31:31-34, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt because they broke my covenant. This is the covenant that I will make with the people of Israel at that time. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more. I'll do something for you. Everybody gets the Holy Spirit. Everybody gets it. Ezekiel 11:19-20 has the same promise. Ezekiel 36:24-29 has the same promise. These passages we come to, God makes this promise of what he is going to do. God will be an inward guide to them rather than an outward guide. Because unlike Moses, Joshua, Saul, David, Solomon, these were good leaders. But they fell short in perfect leadership. And so we got the Holy Spirit. I find it interesting that this passage that Gordon and Marilyn read to us, right away Peter stands up and he begins to preach. And he returns glory to God. And it cuts to the heart of the people. And they say, what should we do? So Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a promise for everybody. No longer just for the 70. Or for the two. Everyone. So what's it for? Holy Spirit has come on you. Galatians 6:1-6. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with his instructor. Carry each other's burdens. The Holy Spirit is given so that we can carry each other's burdens. It was Moses' prayer, and it was God's promise throughout the Old Testament. First Corinthians chapter 12. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. About the Holy Spirit, I don't want you to be ignorant. Because the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts, comes to live within us, to give us these gifts. Verse 7, or let me go back to verse 5. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works in all of them. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one is given the gift, is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another message of knowledge and by means of the same Spirit, to another one faith by the same Spirit, to another one gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another miraculous powers, and then prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of those tongues. All of them work with the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. The gift of the Holy Spirit remains a mystery. Because the gift that I received isn't necessarily the gift that you received. Ephesians chapter 4. Starting in verse 10. He who descended is the one, very one, who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So he who descended, this is Jesus, is the one who ascended higher, that's also Jesus, in order to fill the whole universe. So he sent the Holy Spirit. It is he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure in the fullness of Christ. He has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit to create unity between you and me. That doesn't mean that Satan doesn't come along and put a divider in there and seeks to use the Holy Spirit to divide us. He does that because he seeks to kill and destroy. This gift of the Holy Spirit, when you use it, make them uncomfortable. Let me put it that way. I think it made Joshua uncomfortable when these people were prophesying. He said, "What up with this? Stop. This is uncomfortable. I don't want to go here." He might have also been jealous as Moses directed him or Moses asked. Do we get that way with other people? They're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like they're uncomfortable to be around, man. I've been around some. Why am I uncomfortable? They're working towards the glory of God. They return praise to God. If God chooses so to give them this specific gift, whatever that gift may be, why am I getting all in a tizzy? It's not up to me. It's up to me to become faithful with the gift that God has given me through the Holy Spirit. I asked if you had the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you feel the Holy Spirit indwelling you, giving you life, fulfilling you? Giving you purpose in your Christian life? Second Timothy 1. Some instructions from Paul to Timothy. Paul says, "I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Not a question of whether or not you're a believer or not. That's not the question. The faith that is in Timothy is evident. Paul can see it and he's reminded of it. And then he gives him an instruction. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. This Spirit of God, this Holy Spirit that you have been given, is like the pilot light on your hot water tank. It does absolutely nothing to heat your water, but it will start the fire that will. I have to lay down there and I have to peer down through in that perfect little spot, and then I can see the flame, say, oh yeah, yeah, it's lit. Perfect. Do other people have to look at you like that and peer really, really hard to see the pilot light burning? That is the Holy Spirit. Fan it into flame, he says. How? By become obedient to the word, the Bible, prayer, fellowship, staying together with other believers. We do this. And you will grow. And this pilot light will start burning and it will become like this fire that's been out of control in our area. Absolutely consuming, but consuming for the good rather than for the destruction. We don't understand this fire either, as George has said already this morning. So how are you doing? If you feel that the Holy Spirit really isn't dwelling in you, or you don't know where he's at, what he's doing, open your Bible. Start reading it. Because the Holy Spirit will remind you of the things that Jesus said. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. Do you know the things that Jesus said? They're written in Scripture. Jesus said, I only speak what I'm given by the Father. It reminds me of what my profs at Bible school would pray for us when it came time for exams. They prayed that the students would be reminded of the things that they had studied. Not give them a free ride. I've never, ever studied medical stuff. But I'm going to write my medical exam to become a doctor. I'm not going to ever study at all for that, and I expect that God is somehow going to intervene in me, and he's going to remember me all of these things because, you know, 7 years of university is just too long. I don't want all the hard work. No. Sometimes God comes in and intervenes, and he does something spectacular, such as the gift of tongues. I've never spoken Chinese, but all of a sudden there's a person that needs to hear the gospel and God gives me the ability to speak Chinese. If he wants to do that, there is nothing in me that stops him because he is God and I'm not. I might only speak Chinese once. I've never spoken Chinese, by the way. The God has never given me that gift. There doesn't seem to have been a need for that. Spirit is not there. It's not there for you primarily. It is. It's for you as well, but it's for God, because we will return praise to God if we listen to the Holy Spirit. Pray, fellowship with other believers, come together, and you will see the Holy Spirit begin to do a marvelous work in your life. And you won't have to wonder, where is the Holy Spirit? But if I don't fan it into flame, it remains that pilot light. If I fan it into flame, I turn the hot water tap on my shower and I turn it all the way to the hot. I better not get under there because it's going to burn me. I want to be a fire that's going to burn. It's going to make a difference. Allow me to conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us everything that we need for life and godliness. You created us. You have made us in your image. You watched us fall. You watched us go into sin. So you made a way of redemption. You called us back to yourself, paid for our sin debt through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then you said, go and tell others about what God has done for you. But don't go on your own. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. So I'll help you there yet too. Father, thank you for the gift. Help us to know how to fan it into flame so that we can make a difference in the world around us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.